Please welcome Lorelei Egli.
Well, first off, I'm feeling especially grateful tonight that I wasn't raised Catholic. my family, I'm first generation. My mother's from Germany. My father's from Switzerland. So in our house, the music was classical music, opera, a lot of German Lieder, and my favorite was Marlene Dietrich. So I would often find myself leaning against a door jamb with my leg up, watching my cigarette smoke twirling in my mind. And I still take the same stance today and sing, "Falling in love again, never wanted to. What am I to do? Can't help it." And so that's pretty much the way I've lived my life. I've always been in a relationship, and it just seems to work out well for me. My first was main relationships, not too many details that lived with. I lived in San Francisco, and I worked in a bookstore for a gay boss. My apartment mate was gay, and the boys that I hung out with next door, my neighbors, were gay also. And working in the bookstore, one day a man came through and he commented to me that I had spinach on my teeth. And I had spinach for breakfast, and it was late afternoon. And I was really grateful to him, so I immediately fell in love with him. He was 18 years my senior, a New York Jew. He lived in Los Angeles, so we wrote letters back and forth quite a bit, and then we would take I think it was PSA flights for $39, and my favorite time was dressing up and circling him three times in the airport, like right in front of him before he realized it was me. I was right in his face. So I moved down to West Hollywood. Got a wonderful job at the Bodhi Tree bookstore, which I loved working there. It was great. I could ride my bike there. It didn't feel like being in Los Angeles at all. But he was a Sikh, and so a lot of meditation, learning, and chanting, and it was a great education, New Age music, a lot of different styles, but the age gap got a little too great. And also we shared a lovely bungalow in West Hollywood with two other people, a Canadian woman who was a macrobiotic cook. So I learned a lot from her. And another RTD bus driver who was about 4'10". And his room was an absolute, he kept it locked, fortunately. It was such a pigsty. I couldn't even bear to look at it. But it probably didn't help to have this relationship in that setting, too, because it made for some tension. So I moved out, fell in love with one of my coworkers at the Bodhi Tree. And I went to my mother and was telling her that I was in love. And she was so pleased. And my sister was there as well. And she said, "What is his name?" And so I said, "Shelton," and as in Sydney Shelton, my mother asked. And my smart Alex sister said, "No, as in Sydney Poitier." And my mother said, "Oh, he's not a colored person, is he?" And I said, "Yes, he was." And my great uncle was living with my mom also. So we decided we would just pretend he couldn't handle that. So we would just pretend he was a friend of mine. And so we had him out to lunch, and my great uncle was really hard of hearing. And so after this luncheon, I asked my mom if she thought we'd really fooled my uncle into thinking we were just friends. And my mom said, "He may be deaf, but he's not blind." So apparently we were kind of oogly moogly. So we had great bike trips. And one of them was from San Francisco to Los Angeles, and we rode through here, and we decided this was where we wanted to move to. since we were always getting flats in LA and driving our bikes out to Pacific Coast Highway to ride. So we moved up here, and I got a job at the Earthling, where I met Kurt and Patty, and it was wonderful to connect. I was the events coordinator, so I got to meet artists and musicians, and it really gave me a nice settling into the community. It wasn't so easy for Shelton. This was 1989, and we had a cord of firewood delivered to our house, and the man who delivered it said, oh, do you work for Miss Eggly? And he said, well, he was a good sport. You know, I do a few things around the house. And so I was thinking that was kind of a rougher environment to be in than it was for me. But he ended up leading bike tours. And so that was great. He worked for Backroads Bike Touring, and he would leave for weeks and months at a time. And our relationship ended when he was gone for 3 months, and he came back, and I'd kept the home fires burning, and I just thought of a little aside story. He was very neat, and he moved something in the house I thought I had cleaned thoroughly, and there was a little dehydrated frog. It was like a perfect little potato chip that actually my next boyfriend's dog ate in a snap. I kept it in a little bowl on the table because it was so perfectly dried out. But anyway, then I worked at the Earthling, and I saw this man having breakfast every Saturday morning, having his oatmeal in the front window of the Rhythm Cafe. I would go and get my latte and brioche, and I would see him, and I realized that I recognized him from a picture on a bulletin board at my German car mechanic's shop. His picture was on there, so I went and introduced myself to him, and we married and had 12 great and awful and fine and all the whole bag of things. But he told me one morning that he was leaving me one Saturday morning, and I was completely gobsmacked, as my English friend would say. But after I got over the idea or the pleasure of spray painting Jackass on the side of his truck, and the neighbors happened to be having a yard sale that day. He told me that, and he left after he gave me the news. And I wanted to take his prize Martin guitar and sell it at the yard sale for $10. But I'm too practical. So my therapy turned out to be, I've mentioned before, I watch kids. So I turned, for solace, I turned to ABBA. So while I was watching the kids, I would play the song Knowing Me, Knowing You, and I would do my dramatic interpretation, walking through this empty house, tears in my eyes. This is how the story ends. This is how it dot, you know, knowing me, knowing you. There's nothing we can do. Uh-huh. So I would go through that, and the kids that I was watching, toddlers, actually one of them was the grandson of Gumby, the creator of Gumby. So so he had seen weird things in his life. But so I would do this knowing me, knowing you routine. He'd go, do it again. So I would do it 4 or 5 times, and then I had to cut him off. And then sometimes we would have a chaser of Take a Chance on Me, just for a little relief. So anyway, I was thinking I had a music theme going on, that there was one folk music guy, and then the jazz man, and all this different music that I learned. So on that music theme, I took advantage of the music scene. I'm now married to the bass player of my former husband's. He was in 2 bands. And this fellow started calling me, just checking in, see how I was doing. And which I thought was very thoughtful, I guess. But he invited me for breakfast at the Madonna Inn, our first meeting. Actually, it was April Fool's Day. And on my way in, fortuitously, the Pretender song Brass in Pocket was on, which, you know, I need your attention, use my hands and legs and style and sassy. And so I decided, while I had breakfast with him, that I would just be straightforward and ask if he wanted to have sex with me. So I was happy that his response was, let's get a room. And I wasn't so happy we were at the Madonna Inn. But anyway, I am very pleased that I feel freer and really more comfortable than I ever have. And so I'm very grateful that the heart expansion has continued. And I think of Julie Andrews, and that was another album we had, The Sound of Music. Perhaps I must have done something good. So I like to sing that too, and which I know Gene can appreciate very much. And also a little PS, those other bachelors I was talking about are all still single. So I don't know what that means, but thank you.